Welcome, everyone, to Bring Out the Talent. My name is Maria Malfa, and I am the president and CEO of the Training Associates.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jocelyn Allen. I'm a talent recruitment manager here at TTA, and we're thrilled that you're joining us for another episode. And back by popular demand, we have our co-host again.
That would be John Lavager, Director of Learning Solutions here at TTA.
Thank you for joining us again today, John.
My pleasure.
Well, we are very excited for our special guest today, who is joining us all the way from Krakow, Poland, Magdalena Bukawa. Magda is a diversity and inclusion team member and the ATA Global Project Manager at Akamai. Akamai is a global content delivery network, cybersecurity, and cloud service company providing web and internet security services. Akamai services include edge security, web and mobile performance, enterprise access, and video delivery solutions. To date, Akamai has hired almost 9,000 employees globally and serves over 6,000 customers. Magda is responsible for the global planning and delivery of the Akamai Technical Academy. Magda is a true change advocate. She completed a degree in European studies, studied in the Netherlands, Turkey, and Poland. For 15 years, Magda worked in a BPO business transitioning accounting projects from Benelux countries to Poland and leading a dynamic training team. She is inspired by the tremendous progress she sees in the ATA program, which was the recipient of the 2020 Brandon Hall Award for Excellence in Learning. Magda is committed to Akamai's mission of making the company an inclusive place to work. Personally, Magda is a mom of two boys. She loves individual sports and especially mud racing, but only if she's winning. Welcome, Magda.
Yeah, definitely. We just started with my family, but I think that's something that I will definitely pursue and keep on doing. So we're just preparing for another race, actually.
When will that be?
In about a month.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Yeah. So how long have you been doing that for?
Just a couple of months now. So I started this season. Yeah, and the kids have grown. So I actually have right now the opportunity to sign them up for every competition there is.
That's fantastic.
That's what I'm planning to do. Yeah.
Wow. What a great thing to do with your kids. Great bonding experience.
So Magda, we have a great relationship with you here at TTA. You worked with Akamai for quite some time. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and what brought you to Akamai?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. This is actually the first podcast that I'm doing, so I was really excited to be here with you guys today. And for Akamai, you know, I would say that it was curiosity at first, because I spent over 15 years in the BPO business and I just had a very general idea of what IT companies are like. In fact, I think I was actually after my second maternity leave and the company that I was working for was closing. So I figured that it might be a good time to start and just search for something new. And then I just saw this cool job description. They were, Akamai was searching for a coach to fill in the position in the Akamai Technical Academy. So I thought to myself that this might be something really interesting. And only later I just found out that it brought two of my biggest passions. So developing people, but also running a large project. So that's, long story short, that would be probably the things that were really interesting to me in the beginning.
Sounds pretty serendipitous that you were able to take two of your passions and develop them all in one role or one company. It sounds like it's the right fit for you. For those who maybe don't know about Akamai, can you tell us a little bit more about the company and what you guys do, what your offerings are?
The company was founded in 1998 by Dr. Tom Layton, who is still the CEO of the company, and Danny Lewin. And in general, Akamai secures and delivers digital experience for the largest companies. So in simple terms, and I'm not a very technical person myself, so this really works for me, I would say that we have customers who want the websites to work really fast by, and we do this by distributing content from locations nearest to the user. We want to make sure that the internet is secure and reliable. So that's what we are really focusing on.
So Magda, let's talk about what brought TTA and Akamai together. The Akamai Technical Academy, also known as ATA. What is the ATA and what inspired it?
Sure, thank you. That's a great question. So this is a really incredible training program for diverse talent, people with the aptitude for technology who might not come from typical technical backgrounds. So imagine that you have worked as an elementary school teacher, but you always had this passion for technology. And, you might have been building some websites or programming on a site. You really like to know what's on the tech market. So this is typically the audience that is interested in pursuing their path within the technical academy. The trick here is that they never had the chance to really start working in our business. So what Akamai did is that we figured out that we're going to create a program that is going to grow our internal talent and find those really smart people on the market who just want to change, They want to do something connected with IT.
Where would you find these people? And was there any certain demographic that you were looking for?
For the demographic, looking at the experiences that we had so far, and right now we are currently finishing the 9th edition, I would say that we usually have people in their 20s up until their 60s. So we also have some seniors, and I'm really always very excited to have some senior participants in the program. Also depends on the particular country where we are actually doing the ATA. And we just find them, they actually really want to be found. So in terms of the volume of candidates that apply for the program, in Krakow for the 9.0, we had over 600 applicants. So that's definitely a lot. And then in Costa Rica, to compare, we had over 3,500 applicants. So if you can just thinking about the numbers, we only had 15 positions to fill. So definitely that speaks for itself, that the interest in the program like that is really, really huge. We did some observations of our business, and we're thinking about what makes the company really successful and kind of who feels the strongest connection to the company values. And we came to discover that the curiosity and the love for technology that we share, it's what really makes Akamai great. And since we look at diversity quite holistically, so, you have the cognitive diversity, so how you think, what you're trying to solve, problems, and the identity diversity. So that's all of who you are, race, gender, religion. We've decided that we're going to launch this great program and just give the opportunity to those amazingly talented people to start working in Akamai.
That's great.
It is. It's such a cool idea. Like, imagine that you find a company that's ready to be like, no, we want to teach you things. We want to inspire you to want to work here. That is such an exciting thing that you guys are taking on. I'm happy to hear that it's been so successful for you.
In the beginning, we were really stressed to see what are the end results going to be. Are the people going to be very motivated? Will they feel the Akamai spirit when they join the company? But we were really surprised with the results, and I hope we're going to talk about them maybe later in the conversation, that we just found out that they are not only what we expected, but they're just so much more.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great for TTA to be a part of a program that has so much substance. Just so our listeners can better envision Akamai Technical Academy program, can you tell us a little bit about its structure? Like, for instance, its duration and topics.
The program itself can be divided into two parts. The training is a 5-month long endeavor that ends with a placement process. This is kind of a critical moment where all the cohort members are distributed among the Akamai teams that have decided to take part in this particular edition. And next to that, we have a couple of months long contract phase where the cohort members get exposed to their new tasks. So in total, we're talking about the program that lasts for more or less 11 months. So it's a lot of work to pull this off. Remembering that we are talking about people from non-technical backgrounds, we really wanted to build a solid base for them to start working in IT. So what we're doing is that we are running 7 technical modules, including those that are really critical for Akamai as a whole. So we have the security, we have networking, databases, we have programming modules, and so on, as well as a range of soft skills trainings, because we're talking about 5 months of training, right? 8 hours a day. So it's a lot to build. We have some personal development workshops led by the coach, who is always with the class. And since I came around a couple of years ago, I was really keen to include as much Akamai-specific content as possible. because the aim here for me was to grow the network of people that the ATA folks are going to know when they finish the course. So instead of being familiar only with the recruiter and the manager, like for a regular hire, you actually start working knowing your fellow classmates, people from the business, sometimes even the CEO, Dr. Tom Layton, who is a huge advocate of the program and always pays us a visit. So how cool is that, right? You have the network, you have the support group. So everything is just, you're pretty much set for success. That's what we always hope for with this program.
Well, it's clearly been successful so far. I think that's apparent from the results and what we've seen and witnessed here at TTA. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces to a program like this, especially one that's 5 months long and touches on so many topics and has soft skills and hard skills all mixed together. What role is it that you saw TTA playing throughout a program like this?
TTA is an amazing partner, and I just really couldn't be happier that we are working on this together. First of all, you guys are responsible for selecting the best technical instructors for the program and just providing high quality technical content, which is really great. The instructors are delivering all the technical courses. They are leading the assessments and labs that we are doing at the end of every course. And next to that, as I kind of learned throughout the years, your company is really keen on managing risks and surely puts customer interest at first. So, you know, we do all of that with a great sense of humor, which always helps. And our meetings, as you can probably hopefully confirm, are always a fun experience. So I really like that.
You were speaking, Magda, to the amount of candidates and applicants that you had for this program, that it was overwhelming in several different countries that you were outreaching to. Now, the process of selecting these candidates, your final candidates, we understand was pretty involved. Could you tell us a little bit more about this process and how you came down to the group of people that are in the program currently?
This is definitely a very complex process, and it takes a couple of weeks to get the final group. What we start off with, and it's also a huge team effort. So we first do a targeted campaign in the place where the ATA is going to be at. We are searching for the right profile of candidates. Next, we are asking the recruits to go through an online analytical test. And the second thing would be the English comprehension test, because we want to make sure that all of them are going to be able to successfully go through training and they are learning in English no matter what the location, we're talking about. The last stage is meeting the project team and the recruiters for some group activities that I'm leading and the one-to-one recruitment sessions. So it is really a long process, but it's definitely worth it. And I have this thing that I really want to get to know every single person from the final group of candidates. So I usually interview 50 to 70 candidates. At least I want to see them as a group. So it takes a lot of nerve. Sometimes it's very entertaining and fun, but for most part, it just takes a number of hours to prepare and then to make sure that we just have the right candidates.
Speaking from the perspective of being a candidate for job opportunities before, I can tell you that your time invested is absolutely worth it, because there's nothing better than knowing that the person who headlines something or has such a huge part in what you are participating in wants to be involved and get to know you speaks volumes to the people in the program. That would have further inspired them to keep going, Magda. So that was absolutely worth it. And I think speaks volumes about yourself and how seriously you take your role and the growth of your people, but also Akamai and how they're dedicated to the growth of their professionals. It's an amazing thing.
Thank you for that. And I surely feel responsible from the beginning till the end of the whole process. But I also want to make sure that guys who are going to be successful and will join the company are going to recognize, you know, remember my face, get a good impression of how the company operates. But also for those who are not successful this time, you know, I want them to have a good experience, because this is how Akamai works. So I want them to see smiling faces. I want them to know that we are excited, that we are doing great things, because maybe they would want to sign up for the next cohort. And that's actually something that we usually get, a feedback that although someone was rejected or didn't make it through to the final round, people were really happy with how we let the interview phase. So I'm really proud about it.
That's half the battle right there, is providing a good experience to somebody who doesn't get the answer that they want at the end. That's huge. So kudos to Akamai and Magda for that. That's huge.
Tell us some of your favorite things about the ATA program.
I recently had a conversation with my husband about it because he asked something similar, and I came to discover that I really like, which is kind of a surprise even to myself, when the cohort members start asking difficult questions. You know, they start getting impatient, they become quite demanding, because this is the time when I really know that we created a healthy environment where they can feel comfortable to ask questions, you know, to discuss, to test the solutions that we are giving them. So it kind of exemplifies how it is to work in diverse teams, because it's not always easy, but it's surely creative and liberating. So that's what I definitely like most, although it's not the easiest moment during the training as a whole.
Have you had many candidates leave the program because they could not handle the demands of it?
The answer would be no. No matter the location, we just make sure that, A, we have the right candidates to, and they fit the profile, they fit the company culture, but there is a huge support system. So I'm the spokesperson for this interview, but we have a whole team. We have someone who has gone through ATA 1.0, and she's still with our team right now. She joined the diversity and inclusion team, actually, and is also running the ATA with me. And at the same time, the company is really keen on keeping all the people that successfully go through the program. So the end result is that if we have 15 hires, 15 people go through ATA, we want to keep all of them. And this is really comfortable because we're making all the attempts, we do whatever it takes to make sure that everyone is going to be successful and happy with the program, and at the end, happy with the company as well.
That's an incredible retention rate.
So Magda, earlier you mentioned how strong performance-wise the program was and how successful the candidates are that came through the program. Can you tell us a little bit about how this has compared to other talent acquisition strategies used at Akamai?
I can sum it up in pretty much three words, looking at the indicators, and we already had this program run for 5 years, so we have a lot of data. There is higher diversity, for sure, lower attrition, and higher year-to-year review notes for the employees who have gone through ATA. I think, actually, that's due to motivation that the guys have to succeed, because just thinking about the fact that they actually get a chance, you know, this great opportunity to start working in our business, they are at the peak of their learning curve. So they are really fast to pass technical certification, and that's always a plus looking from the business perspective. And they also have huge self-discipline. They've been learning for a number of months, right? Then they hit the floor, they start working in their particular teams, and then they are finally signing the full-time contracts with Akamai on just some of the most amazing positions. So they are really eager to be successful.
And Magda, I love learning evaluation. I think it helps organizations better understand, you know, what their learning dollars are going towards and what impact it's being made to the business. As far as the Akamai Technical Academy program, what measurement techniques were employed to gauge the effectiveness of the program?
So I really hate measuring things, but I know that it's necessary, right? Especially for the business. But we measure a whole lot of indicators. So next to the ones that I mentioned already, we do satisfaction surveys after every technical module, so to really make sure that the instructors are doing a good job, that classmates are really feeling happy about how the classes are being led. We do assessments, and we finish every block with a practical case study. We have this amazing person that I already talked about, Bill Young, who is surveying the participants, and she's on the project team right now. So she gathers all the numbers that we need, and then later on to present them to senior staff. And in 2020, we won a Brandon Hall Group Silver Award for Excellence in Learning together with you guys. So I guess this speaks for itself that the program has a long history of success and that we are making everything we can to make sure that that's how it's going
to
be.
We are very excited to win that award with you, Magda. The 2020 Brandon Hall Group Silver Award for Excellence in Learning.
Well, Magda, we know how much you you like winning, so we had to do our part to help out there.
So were there any challenges that you had to overcome during the course of this program? We know that it's a big one, you know, 9 cohorts starting your 10th, right? Can you talk to us about any challenges that you face and how you overcame them?
Firstly, I am still working on my personal ability to let go of things that I have no influence on, because as I mentioned, I feel really responsible for the success of this project, such as my team does. And it does happen that I'm simply doing, you know, too much, or I try too hard and then I get frustrated. So I think many of us have that, right? If you're really passionate about what you're doing. Probably the second thing that I would mention is that there are always situations that we cannot prepare for and that require our special care and effort. During each 5 months, I saw children being born, you know, relationships formed. So we even have a couple who got engaged during the course of the ATA. But we also witnessed some personal dramas. So I'm really fortunate to have inspiring mentors outside of the program. I can ask for guidance and support whenever there are some personal circumstances that really require it. But it's a lot of months. We're talking about 11 months of the full program, right? So a lot of things can happen.
I know over the last few years, you started doing 2 programs simultaneously. Did that create more challenges?
Akamai have decided that we're going to give it a go and try to launch the 1 cohort in 2 locations at the same time. So we actually formed 1 group with the guys from Krakow, Poland, and then San Jose, Costa Rica. You can imagine, apart from the cultural differences, the fact that we had 7-hour time difference. And then on top of that, we had instructors flying in from the US, from TTA, to either one of those locations and dialing in with the other side of the world. So the fact that it was so technologically dependent was really stressing me out every morning, you know. I just wasn't sure if we're going to be able to open our laptops and see the second part of the class, see the instructors. And I gotta tell you, I don't know if that's lucky or if it's actually good planning. I hope that is the second option. That we haven't had a single technical issue during the whole 5 months of training. So that's really extraordinary. And it let us prepare. It allowed us to prepare for the post-COVID situation. So for the 9.0 right now, when we are in a full virtual mode. So we were very fortunate to actually have that semi-virtual experience before.
Going back to what you were speaking to, Magda, about the flexibility of the program, adjusting to changes, and having a good support system in order to keep going. 2020 kind of threw a wrench at everybody and was like, oh, you think you're versatile? You think you're agile? Try a pandemic. So how did that affect this ongoing program since it started, you know, years before that and is still continuing successfully, ready to move on to something new? How were you able to shift accordingly and still maintain the program at the standards that you have for it?
The pandemic hit during the last 2 weeks of the 8.0. So we knew already that the 9.0 is going to be totally different. And we closed the offices. It was quite tricky. We thought about different solutions, but what we did is that we prepared for the full virtual recruitment and the program delivery. So that's a first. We have the instructors right now dialing in from the US, which actually proves to be quite convenient. Some of them have to wake up really early, depending on where they're situated in the US, but it is working out quite well. We had to go through the content review just to make sure that it's all suited to a full virtual delivery. So that's where you guys stepped in and you did an amazing job. And the content is really spot on for this particular class. I would say that it was truly heavier on the project manager, as all the information was needed to be forwarded by email to all the stakeholders. And that's a lot of writing right now, instead of just quickly, you know, knocking on somebody's doors to ask a question. These were some of the things that we had to prepare for to launch the 9.0, but so far so good.
The program's evolved quite a bit over the multiple iterations that we've had. I remember when we first started, the program was fully in person, and then we did that dual location or kind of hybrid in person and virtual that you and Ray talked about. And now, most recently, we've gone to full virtual. I'm curious what you what you see for changes coming up for future iterations, the next program?
So I would say that every cohort is different because the business needs keep on changing. So after the two locations, the 7-hour time difference and the semi-virtual class, I really thought that nothing is going to surprise us, right? And then the COVID hit. So I'm pretty much making no attempts to predict what the future will bring. And I just kind of right now focus on landing everyone from the 9.0 happily in their new teams. And for the future, we're going to see. We had an idea about maybe targeting smaller Akamai offices, doing maybe a European version, then the US version. We think about different markets. We were thinking maybe Israel. We also had this idea about making a specific ATA related to security, you know, or networking. So there are a lot of plans, but it really depends on where the company is going to go. And also, what is going to be the next focus area for Akamai as a whole? Right now, we're really heavily investing in security. So we'll see what the future will bring, but it's definitely going to be exciting. And that's the only thing that I can be sure about.
So I know in the beginning, we talked about how you have executive sponsorship directly mm-hmm. from the CEO. How do you believe that that has made such a significant impact and made the program more successful?
First of all, this is a program that is critically important for Akamai as a whole, because this is not just another hiring initiative. This is a diversity and inclusion program, and Akamai is really keen on diversity, inclusion, and engagement. We have Harvard Business Review writing about us. We have been publishing a lot of videos about ATA. We have incredible internal advocates of the program, but also looking from the employees' perspective, I would say that for them, this is something that they're really proud of. Even the fact that we have the ATA-branded gadgets, these are the ones that people who have not even gone through the program always ask me about because they want to wear it. They feel that the program is interesting, that it adds a huge value to the company as a whole. And I do this tiny overview of ATA for the new joiners whenever we have a new batch of folks joining our incredible company. And I tell them about Akamai and immediately after, I tell them about the ATA and immediately after we finish the session, I get always 2-3 messages asking about the next cohort, when is it going to launch, what is the location, because people really feel excited that maybe their friends, you know, family members will have this opportunity to also join our business and work in this incredible atmosphere. So yeah, I think that's a great program, and it was life-changing for the participants, but it's also a life-changing experience for me.
An amazing story, and it just shows how important it is, for especially for a program like this. And you hear a lot of success stories about diversity and inclusion programs when they do have the sponsorship from the top down.
What's also important is the fact that the ATA is demand-driven. So to launch a class, I do need to have confidence that the business is going to accept and have spots for participants that have gone through the ATA. So that's where I actually start. That's how I decide on which locations are we going to open it up for.
One day, John came to me and said, we need to send a Billy Bass Fish plaque. Isn't that what it's called?
The Billy the Big Mouth Bass.
Billy the Big Mouth Bass Fish. So I know we had our marketing person look for one and we ended up sending you one. What's the story behind that?
Oh my gosh, you know, I don't even know where to start. So this is probably one of the biggest surprises of my life, to be honest with you guys. Since and that's really surprising. I've never had a chance to go to the States. I planned a number of times, but I never actually went. And so I am a huge fan of The Sopranos. And in one of the episodes, I just saw the sinking trout, as I call it, just hang on the wall. Often it's Sopranos place or restaurant, I think. And I just fell in love with it. So I told John at one of the meetings that I would love to go to the US. And the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to buy the sinking trout. So then you can imagine how surprised I was when I got a delivery to my house. And my kids opened the package, and what they found inside was the award that I was really waiting for, and then the singing trout. So, yeah, and I remember talking to my husband about it, and he really understands the concept behind getting the award, and it's so nice that you guys shipped it to me so that I can look at it every day. But what is the trout about? So we're really laughing, and I try to keep it on one of my shelves, but kids just keep on stealing it.
Yeah, that's so,
so
funny.
I love that. I love that. That was a great story. And I literally had a photo of me holding this trout just sent to all of my friends. So I think this is just a bonus factor of cooperating with you guys, you know, the sense of humor and the surprise that there is with every meeting that we have. It's lovely. So thank you for that. Thank you so much.
No, absolutely. Matter of fact, my father actually, when he was working in the company before he retired, he had that on his wall. So we actually used to play it all the time. So, no, I love that. I'm glad that we're able to find one.
On the contrary, when I show it to some of the folks that have never watched Sopranos or they have no idea what's that about, and I'm so happy and excited to show them the best gifts that I got, I just show them the fish, and they just look at me like, what's that about? So it's difficult to explain it to someone who really doesn't have a clue.
That's so funny. Right. They all probably think you're an avid fisher.
Right?
Yeah.
When they leave your house feeling very sad for you and how excited you are about your fake fish.
It is a lot of fun. Right? So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I like so it too. Funny.
Magda, we have talked in depth about this program at Akamai, the ATA program, and it is so insightful. It is inspiring. It's eye-opening. I think it's incredible what you guys have created, and it seems that you've done it kind of ahead of the game. It's a focus of a lot of companies to create an inclusive and diverse environment and to bring new, strong candidates that can represent their company well. It's a focus of ours definitely here at TTA. So for those who are listening to this and saying, I had no idea this is what my organization needed, but Magda has told me that it is, but I don't know where to start. Can you tell them what step one might look like and what they should be prepared to take on to implement a program like this at their company?
First thing I would advise would be just to ask yourselves, what are you trying to solve for? Because this is not the only option that there is on the market. And this is a long program, you just have to make sure that you have the right support in terms of the organization, but also the organization is ready to actually have a program that is focused around diversity and inclusion. From my experience, what happens is that, you know, I could do everything I can together with my team to have everyone gone successfully through the program. And then the guys, when they hit the floor, they go into their particular teams. If the organization would not be ready, if the managers would not be supportive, then there would be this huge clash, right? So I'm thinking that you really have to check if you're ready to have an initiative like that. Is the company ready to commit? Is there a support network in place? But also just spend a lot of time finding the right people to do what you're planning to do. This is a huge team effort. So you need to have people who are good in working with others, you know, not judgmental, very supportive, people who see different perspectives, and people who will be able to negotiate where there are conflicts of interest at the same time. Because thinking about participants, right now we have a cohort of 15, we have different managers, we have stakeholders that are higher up in the structure organization. So in total, I counted at some stage that it's about 60 people that I talk to on a weekly basis. And sometimes you get slight differences of opinion. So you have to have the right people to make sure that they're going to be advocating on the behalf of the participants, but at the same time, understand that this is a business-related initiative that we are trying to solve for the business problems. So it takes a lot of effort to really have the right people in place.
Very eye-opening, and I think and really important information to take on. You get really excited about making a difference, and you need to be prepared about what that looks like and how long it can take. Because as you said, this is a long program, but the results that you're seeing probably don't make it feel like that it's been that much time invested. And so thank you for sharing the experiences that you've had. I think that they will resonate really well with our audience, and hope to see more organizations that want to implement programs like this.
Thank Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. This is such a pleasure. I wanted to also take this opportunity to thank the incredible people that I'm working with on the D&I team who really inspire me to do this job. And also they push me and sometimes out of my comfort zone, but it always pays off and always comes back to me. I think this has been a great experience for everyone who has joined me in those efforts of making ATA successful. So thank you so much, guys, for being there for me and for the other ATA cohort members. Feel free to reach out to Akamai for some guidance. Feel free to talk to TTA. You've done an amazing job, guys, in making sure that everything is going to go smoothly. So yeah, I think we really did some amazing things together and the future is bright, right?
Thank you so much, Magda. This was a true pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Magda. Thank really you. Appreciate your partnership.
Same here, likewise. Thank you, guys.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
For more information on today's podcast guests and how they can help your organization, please visit www.thetrainingassociates.com.
Bring Out the Talent is a Mudhouse Media production.